Father, as we look at your word this morning, as we talk together, as we learn how to be discerning, I pray, Father, that you would bless our time together. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do, at the beginning here, an in-class exercise, because something came in the mail to me and several others in Lawford, this thing about Revelation. And I meant to look at it, but I don't think it ever made it over here to my office. So we are going to... So, I don't know whether this is good or not. I have a strong suspicion of what it is. And so we're gonna go here. It says, attendpope.com/revelation101. It doesn't actually really say... It's,
What's the website?
He's a physical.
Carefully avoids any reference to
age content.
He's a physical therapist.
So that means Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah, that should tell you something.
Yeah, this usually comes from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It says that the page can't be found. So I guess we won't do that. Well, there goes my fun that I was going to have. But periodically you're going to get things like this in the mail. What do you do? Man, you have three options. You can feed the garbage, or the recycle. You can go to attend the event, or you can check them out. Right? And sometimes when you check them out, you get to have a little bit of discerning fun, right? A little bit of discernment. And so you go on it, and the big things, here's some big clues in general. If you're looking at a ministry, you're looking at a church, you're looking at any of these things, number one, try to find a doctrinal statement. Okay? This is usually going to be under our beliefs, about us, something like that. If you cannot find a doctrinal statement, then you're safe to just throw it in the bin, right? Just get rid of it. Because if they're unwilling to tell you their doctrine, the chances are they have a reason for that. Okay? Now, if you want to go a step further, you can call them up and say, hey, I was looking on your website and I couldn't find a doctrinal statement. What do you believe? Okay? Now, this is one of the reasons why when you go to our website and you look at About Us, you're going to see our beliefs are listed there. Why? Because we want people to know before they even walk through the door where we're at, because it was going to do two things. One, it's going to let people know, hey, I kind of agree with those folks. I'm going to go there. Or two, I don't want to go there because I don't agree with it. And so it eliminates that out the door. So that's something any of us can do, just a little bit of practical discernment when you get something in the mail, but with a lot of these kinds of things, you are pretty safe just to put it in the recycle bin. All right, so going back to our critical thinking class, we have started looking at our various questions, our rules of critical thinking, but last week I handed out homework, and I always like to deal with homework as I give it out instead of making it wait. So, anyone need a copy of this? Okay. You got to do this. Okay. So, what this is an article from the Lowland News Sentinel from April 13th, 2013, on the opinion page. Now, as we begin, I want to give us a word of warning, right? We've been talking a lot about critical thinking. But there's a balance here. Okay? And the balance is we don't want to be overly critical, because if we're overly critical, then nothing anyone says seems to be okay to us, right? If we're overly critical, then we get in trouble of saying, well, I'm the only person who knows, right? Everybody else is just a dummy. I'm the only person who knows. And we want to be very careful of that. Because it's not like nothing you read or interact with has anything worthwhile. Because a broken clock is right twice a day. Right? So even someone who's normally wrong can sometimes be right. Okay? So we want to be discerning. We don't want to be overly critical or harsh. So we're going to talk about these articles. You can be creative in what you're doing with these. I've seen a couple people who they're highlighted, right? I write notes all over them. I highlight. You can even use different highlighters for different things. Say red for you're wrong, green for I agree. You know, whatever you want to do. The point is interact with the material. If you were to go into my office, you can tell which books I've read and which ones I haven't by the ones that are underlined and written in. And if I disagree with the author, I write it in the margin. I think this guy's wrong. Or he made an argument and he didn't support it, right? And then I go back later and I reread it and I'm like, I don't think I understood his argument. So just interact with the material. All right, the first one, article number one. Here is the title. A little bit more background. This was written right before what's called the Obergefell decision, when homosexual marriage was legalized in California, okay, through the action of the Supreme Court. That's when this was happening. And we were looking at a proposition in California, and they were wanting to get feedback from pastors to say, okay, what do we think about this proposition? I think it was Prop 8? So this was all the Prop 8 debate, okay? So the first article is titled, Gays Are Devoted Citizens as Much as Straight People. Now, this is one of those times where we look at this and we say, okay, that could be true, but it's a vast generalization. Okay? It's completely a generalization of these people. So, I don't know every single person who's gay in the U.S., so I can't give you an accurate answer on that. But they also there's no sources cited or anything like that. What I feel like is it's like saying all white people are from Europe, right? It's a generalization, okay? It makes the false assumption that many do in this article, and that is that it's a civil rights issue, right? Is that true? Is it a civil rights issue?
No.
Why not?
Because children are good citizens too. It's not a question of citizenship.
Yeah.
Children are denied marriage. Mm-hmm. We're good citizens.
Good. Yeah. The point is, the whole argument was definition. It wasn't rights. Okay. Let me get your guys' thoughts. Anyone have any thought, anything they want to point out in the first article?
Former Lutheran pastor.
Okay. Where's that from?
No, then that means they've changed from what they were, or they've been, rejected or something. We don't know specifics, but it's like, I used to believe this, but not anymore.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
I have a problem with pastor.
Well, okay. Exactly.
Because he
should not have been a pastor.
Okay. Good. So the fact that this is she was a female pastor and she's now not a pastor. What is this? Why is that important?
We don't know why she's not.
Okay, we don't know why she's not. Good.
We don't know that she's not a pastor of another church either.
Sure, we don't know that. Okay.
Why does one define oneself by what you're not?
Okay, that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
What did you say?
What would you say?
Why would you define yourself in terms of what you're not?
Former.
Right.
I used to be an atheist.
So, here's
the thing.
We talked about this last week. We talked about this last week. This is an appeal to authority. We're supposed to listen to what she says because she used to be a Lutheran pastor. Now, for us in conservative circles, when we see someone who says, a woman who says she used to be a pastor, what red flag does that raise in our mind?
The Bible doesn't teach that.
Okay? To be a pastor, Scripture is very clear, you need to be an elder. Okay? An elder is reserved for biblically qualified men, okay? According to Timothy and Titus. Okay? So, what does this tell us about her hermeneutic, how she handles Scripture?
Whatever she wants it to
say. She twists it. She's egalitarian.
So, right out the gate, we haven't read any of the content of the article. We already know that we're going to have theological disagreement because of how this person must handle Scripture in order to call themselves a pastor. Mm-hmm. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. So this is why critical thinking is so important. They're important. There's clues we can look at just from the very outset. Any other thoughts on the article?
I love it when people tell us straight what is the problem.
Yeah.
And she lets us know that it's religion, that there's a stumbling block. The key, I love that, the key to allowing us to let it go, she says to look to the Bible. I love the fact that then when she does, and by the way, this pastor that we know, meaning you, are going to use the same passage, but actually quote the passage. And then she uses omission. And I use those five terms, religion, stumbling block, key, look to the Bible, omission. It's the coach in me that looks at another team and says, I'm going to break down that team and look. She's giving us her key, and the key is, we are the key. We, those people who are into religion. So
good. Good. Yeah.
She talks about God leaving out government protection of marriage, and then she says, so we, as a society, can leave out God, and we define what marriage means today. That really upset me.
So this is what we call a leap in logic. Okay? Because what she's doing is she's saying, God didn't include government benefits. Let me just make a point. God doesn't believe in government benefits. So she denies absolute truth, right? So she's saying God may not have included government benefits, but he did define marriage. And here's the thing, the issue that so many of these people miss. By telling us what marriage is, God does address homosexuality. Okay? He doesn't have to use the word. Over and over again, you hear people say, well, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. But he defined marriage. And in so doing, he did address homosexuality. We can't leave God out. And this is the important point. In definition. Because that's what at issue. That's what's at issue here. What's at issue is not civil rights, is not these are, and she told us at the very beginning, she's all about civil rights. Okay, that's what she thinks this is. It's a civil rights issue. But it wasn't. It was an issue of definition. How are we going to define marriage? Okay? And so it's a leap in logic. She's saying, God left out the government protection of marriage, so we as a society can leave God out. Now notice, when we define what marriage means today. So God left the government out, so we can leave God out in definition. It's a leap in logic. She's talking about two different things. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, she defines herself in the end. God doesn't get to decide for us what is good news, and there's no agreed upon criteria for assessing God's opinion.
Yes.
So not only that, she says that men can't ask God directly what was intended. That means you're throwing out prayer and, you know, supplication to God.
Right. Sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely. No wonder she's
no longer.
If you're
so, you said you knew this author. Why is she on here?
No, I don't know her. No, I knew the guy who collected the article.
Do you think they're friends and he just knew, had a connection with her, and that's why she's
here? Probably.
Her father was a pastor at that Lutheran church for a long period of time.
That's right.
I knew her as a little girl.
Okay.
And she just kind of grew up, I think.
And so what Ross would do is he had a few of the pastors in the area that he knew, and he would just contact them and reach out to them.
The reason I ask, and this is the secular approach to understanding these things, we want to find as diverse a perspective as we can.
Sure.
And bring, for example, say, you might ask a question, is the earth flat?
Yeah.
Is the earth flat? Well, there are flat earthers.
Yes.
Let's get them in here and make sure that they have exactly the same voice. The same amount of typeset goes to that view as goes to the view that the earth isn't flat.
Sure.
The validity of the views is presented. It's like, here are all these different perspectives. It's not democratically set up because how many Buddhists live in this area? So if three Buddhists live in the area, we're going to have a whole section on Buddhism.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, they don't need any Buddhists to give you the Buddhist perspective. So the notion is that these are equally valid positions.
Yeah.
And which is laughable.
Well, and what's important too is, remember, this was on the opinion page.
Right.
Now, the other thing is, one thing I will say for the guy who collected this, he passed away a few years ago, but he put in my article exactly how I wrote it.
That's good.
Word for word. He gave me a word limit. I stuck within that word limit. I know you're all surprised that he was able to do that. I stuck within that word limit, and he put it in there exactly, which gives me the confidence that everybody else's articles are exactly how they work. But you're right, it does lend to this idea that, well, here's these diverse opinions, and they're all equally valid. And I knew that that's what was going to happen. Okay?
Which well, is a Muslim view as well.
Sure, yeah, that's a great point, because what would the Muslims have said? They need to die. Because that's what they teach. So the reason why I went where I went in my article, which we'll get to, is because I knew there was going to be other opinions.
Did he seek you out? Did he seek you out? Or was it like, hey, we're having this, who wants to put in there? And that was that generated.
He wrote, if I remember correctly, and it's been a while, but if I remember correctly, he sent out an email to all the area pastors that you can find an email to.
Okay.
So here's another interesting point. These are the only ones who responded, as far as I know.
That's what I was wondering.
So we had other people who probably would have taken my view, didn't take it.
Yeah, typically Frank Knowlton did back in the day.
Yeah.
And he was one of Ross's kind of go-to guys.
Yeah. Sure.
Another thing is she talks about the 14th Amendment. Well, the 14th Amendment had to do with slavery.
Yes.
She might have to throw that one in there.
Yeah. And that's a current thing. So that's one of the scary things, really, is that a lot of what she says could be said of any illegal sexual activity. Mm-hmm. And that's it's a slippery slope, right? Let's see.
Not to mention the fact that she's the only female. In other words, let's get both sides. You have one female, and then the rest of them are all male.
Sure.
Hey, before we go on, you just mentioned something slippery slope.
Yeah.
And for those of us who know what that means, but that is always a counter argument against the conservative view that's been there since the moral majority or others, because it is an argument that that's one of our hobby horses that will say, I've said this for years, it's not the law now, it's what's around the corner.
Sure.
And this is appropriate in this article. That is to say, this was Prop 8, which was a 70-30 decision that is for it.
Yeah.
If it is taken now, it's the exact opposite.
Sure.
And interestingly, in the third column, she says, churches, temples, mosques, and other religious entities can choose not to. We can choose. All we need is just more laws. Her idea is the laws, and our slippery slope, which again gets discounted, whether it's gay marriage or the Bible is true or whatever, we tend to go there. We have to be ready for that counter argument against that, because the liberal theologian or whatever side you're taking, they're going to be ready for your
And so that's one of the things that we mention as conservatives, but also as Christians, as we say, look, you're cracking the door open here. Mm-hmm. Now, they invalidate that and say, well, no, because we'll just pass laws where that won't happen.
Right.
But then those laws will change and so on and so forth.
Of course, that little longitudinal analysis here, looking at where the argument was 6 years ago.
Yes.
And to say, the argument was, well, should we extend the rights of legal marriage to homosexual couples? In 2012 became, should we allow tax exemption for any organization which denies leadership positions to homosexuals in 2019? That's a discussion that's going on right now in the Democrat Party.
Absolutely. We're less than a decade, right? This is where we've come. And how fast?
Slippery slope, right?
And so there's our slippery slope.
That's it.
So in her middle column, he picks up, says, the idea that God brought marriage into existence and defined it as between one man and one woman is the stumbling block as well as the key to allowing us to let it go. First, we can't ask God directly, which this was already mentioned, what was meant by the idea of marriage. So it's not just an idea, right? It's not just an idea that God brought us into existence. Yeah, it's fact, it's reality. So, she misinterprets Genesis 2:24, and then we already talked about that God left us out so we can leave him out. The bottom line is she denies absolute truth. Basically, her argument is we can't really know because God didn't tell us, but he did. Right? She leaves out hermeneutics. She leaves out how do we interpret Scripture? How do we handle the Word of God? She basically says, well, you can do it your way, and I can do it mine. Any other thoughts on the first one?
Well, when she says, yes. That in that same area where you were reading, for those who believe in God, which is another problem.
I know.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously she tries to define it, but...
Sure.
The gist is that if you're a Bible-believing person, you're causing the problem.
You're a problem. Yeah. And and to Joel's point they made, right, we're now in 2019, and they're talking about denying tax-exempt statuses and things like that. Right, because we're the problem. There's a problem with us who don't agree with it.
Do you believe in tax exempt equality?
Sure, yeah. And the thing is, I tell people all the time, I would love to be able to jump on their bandwagon because it'd be really comfortable, right? But I can't because there's this book that was written, right? And it doesn't let me. I'd love to be able to jump on a lot of the other bandwagons because it'd be easy. But I can't.
Well, I almost called you that morning. I was doing this at my breakfast table and told you that you made me sick.
You're right.
Giving me this.
Yeah. Well, and yeah.
Indirectly, you made me sick.
Indirectly. You make me sick, Pastor. That's what I heard.
And you're not.
So, from 2013, right, to where we are now. This is something real important to remember. We're six and a half years from this. Okay, second article thought.
Which Jesus are we talking about here?
Jesus. Oh, good. Yeah. Right, and why do you raise that point? Go.
Well, is this the Christ of the Bible, or is this the Christ who was Satan's brother, and who made Satan rebel when God, that Jesus was chosen to be the Savior and Satan wasn't.
Sure.
Which is LDS doctrine.
Yes. Right. Yes. And so when we know cults and world religions, right, we understand a perspective that they're coming from. Now, the thing is, I think you make a really good point because this is a problem that we have not only with other religions, okay? This is a problem we have with everybody. Everybody has a picture in their mind of who Jesus is. And that picture is going to inform what they believe Jesus teaches or says. Okay? And that picture, unfortunately, does not often come from Scripture. Okay? We have people who believe in the loving Jesus. Jesus just loved everybody. He was all about that. And they're absolutely right. But that's not all that Jesus was. Okay? And we make that all that Jesus was, we get into trouble because we forget about the Jesus who flipped tables and chased people out of a temple with a whip. But then you have the people who say, well, I've read the New Testament, and the God of the New Testament is a horrible guy because he's just going to slaughter everyone. And if we should look at just the wrath of God or just the justice of God, then we miss the other side of it. And so when we're reading things like this, that's a question we got to ask, what Joel said. What Jesus does this person believe in? Well, is it the Jesus of the Bible or not? Good.
And all throughout this guy does not quote anything. They don't. His source isn't the Bible, obviously, because it's the website. www.mormonsanities.com strives to address through interviews and videos from the church leaders and members the issue of same-sex attraction as relates to individuals. I mean, that's his source.
Sure. Yeah, great point.
Yeah, experience within his organization.
This is the same issue that you're going to face with Roman Catholicism.
Right.
What they are going to quote to you is their leadership and what they say.
Yeah.
Not the Word of God. Which is, as we've talked about again, and if you're going to hear me use this term a lot, it's an appeal to an authority. Okay? Well, the problem is, you have your authority, I have my authority. Whose authority matters? Right? And this comes back to absolute truth. Because we believe in absolute truth, then we say, well, this is the only authority that matters. But then, as we're going to see in some of these articles, then you got to handle this correctly.
And although they don't, I mean, from what I can see, they don't agree with same-sex marriages, though they want to, you know, be sensitive to the issue. And then they say the LDS church is between same-sex attraction. attraction and behavior, while feelings and inclinations toward the same sex are not inherently sinful.
Okay.
So therefore, you can have sinful thoughts, but to them it's not. I mean, that's still okay, as sure. long as you're not acting upon it.
Sure. And this is... Now, this is an issue that we can debate to a certain degree. Only because if I have a thought of doing something wrong, have I sinned? Depends on what I do with the thought.
Whether you maintain it or whether you cast it aside.
If I say, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ means I still have to have the thought. But then what do I do with the thought? So someone may say, well, I was attracted to a person of the same sex. Okay? What did you do with that? Okay? And what they're trying to subtly say is they're waffling, right? They're spaghetti, whatever you're going to call it, right? they're flip-flopping because they want some wiggle room. Okay? And we got to be very careful because that is a temptation. I've heard Christians use that exact same argument. And I agree with them to a point, right, that just having a thought initially isn't sin unless we don't take it captive to the obedience of Christ.
But we have to confess that sin.
Yes.
You can have that thought, but remember, that's where it's going to start.
Yes.
Start in your mind and develop from there.
And if you entertain it at all, you've given a foothold.
So Sharon and I had this discussion, a husband and wife discussion. James 1. Yeah. But each one is tempted when he is carried away.
Yeah.
Literally, a hook is baited by yourself.
Yes.
And enticed by his own lust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then, when lust has conceived, that's the key, Pastor. Mm-hmm. It is birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. I think it bears noting that his first sentence explains where he's coming from. The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Which gospel?
So now, let's see what he calls it. I love his definition. Based on love. So, he's a hippie.
Okay.
Respect. Well, he's a Buddhist, or he's a animist, or whatever. And third, I love this. Agency. So... agency is just a relationship between an organization or a person. It's a transactional piece. So it could be very good, the agency of God. It can be very good.
The CIA.
Correct. However, in his purview, it's Mormonism. Because, of course, we have, I remember the commercials, another gospel. And they would bring in the Book of Mormon. And one particular day, when I got the knock on the door, I took one and asked them to come in. And we went through, and I said, we went through it, and it was so amazing, so gibberish. And so we decided to stick to the King James Version, and I'm sure you've done the same. Or when you go to, in the JW's knock on the door, and they want their New World Distortion, I mean translation, they have all sorts of inserts. Point is, their agency is founded on the premise of, well, Jesus is this, the gospel, right away. And before I forget, am I right that Ross also gives the title, those were not
good point.
Yours?
Yes. Thank you.
Because in the first one, gays are devoted citizens as much as straight people. She didn't put that.
No, yeah, he read the articles
and then they put the title. Just
that. So, the thing that we're going to see with the second article is that there's a lot of truth and error mixed together, right? And that's one of our rules of critical thinking, right? Is what's truth and what's error, right? Do they blend it together? The thing is, if someone knows some truth and they blend it with error, it makes them a false teacher, okay? This is, it's a biblical definition of a false teacher. What is a false teacher? It's someone who gives you a little bit of truth, mixed with some error, right? A little bit of porridge and some poison. Right? So we have to be discerning. So anyway, the first sentence that Sean read, what we got to ask is that true? Right? Not really. That's not the gospel. Right? Because there's no mention of sin. There's no mention of Christ. There's no mention of any of the things that we would associate with the gospel. Repentance, substitution, whatever.
But you're going to start something.
Sure.
I look at, you know, if you're going to start to say, well, what's the gospel basically about? Well, I don't have time to hear about sin. I'm going to start somewhere. Where do you start? Well, the gospel is about love.
Sure.
It's not that. That's the start.
No, no, yeah. But then, so here's the other thing. When someone begins an argument, what you want to have is a presentation and then a defense. Okay? So he gives you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is based on love, respect, and agency, period. Moving on. No defense, no support, nothing. You take his word for it. Now, is the gospel about love?
Yeah.
Now, he says based on love. Okay, we can roll with that. We can say it's based on love. Mm-hmm. Respect, isn't it a little sketchy? Right? Agency. Now, you know what that says to me? To me, it brings up the whole free will debate and everything. Because it's agency. I have the agency to do whatever. Not unless God first initiates, right? The thing about free will is that we don't have it. It doesn't exist. Now, the reason I say that is because we have responsibility. And that's different than a free will. You don't have a free will until you're saved. Because you're a slave of sin. Okay? The whole free will debate is wrong before you even get started, because no one has free will. The only people who have free will is Adam and Eve. Okay? Now, once you get saved, you can have free will. So I disagree with the terminology. Okay? You do have a responsibility to choose to accept Christ. Okay? That's different.
I think it's really essential for me. This has been really helpful. I don't want to speak from my own perspective on this, but it's been very helpful for me to identify a bright line in the sand to say, is this writer a brother or is this writer an adversary?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And there are groups that are close to the line that we, you know, it's absolutely debatable. I don't consider the Mormons very close to the line.
No.
But, once you identify the essentials of Christianity, who is Christ? Who am I? How has Christ defined who I am? What is God? What am I doing on this planet? What's the purpose of life? The very basic questions that are clearly laid out in Scripture, that just, you know, there's no debate among Christians. And when you say among Christians, these are people that would be Trinitarian.
Yeah.
If you're not Trinitarian, you're not my brother. You're my spiritual enemy in terms of your theories,
sure,
your ideas. So once I identify this person as on the wrong side of the bright line, I'm going to apply a different level of criticism to what he says about things like how do you define the gospel or who is Jesus or things like that, than I would say if you're a Baptist pastor.
Great point. And Paul does that right away. Paul says, admonish him as a brother, right? For some people, and for other people, we're to love them, right? And Jesus said, if your enemy persecutes you, give him water, all that kind of stuff. Right? So there's a way we're supposed to treat the unbeliever, and then there's a way we're supposed to treat a believer. Mm-hmm. Great. Good point.
I think when he started this article, he starts out, I kind of feel like it's like a soft introduction.
Sure.
Saying, you know, we want to love you, this is all the nice so things. And then he starts, he never says I or me, he says our organization. Where for you, I know I'm jumping over, I am a pastor and I believe.
The I versus the we.
Yes.
He doesn't know what he believes apart from what he's taught.
Correct.
Okay. Great.
Well,
great.
That's part of his agency, probably. There, his whole his identity is
that's right.
Wrapped up in where he's coming from, what his organization.
Yeah.
In this case, the LDS
Church. Great point. Now, here's where we see sometimes people we disagree with get things right. Ready? Sexual activity should occur only between a man and a woman who are married.
I agree with
Amen.
You.
Amen. Hallelujah. Right.
But he doesn't say where. Gives that info.
Well, he said our doctrinal position, to your point earlier.
Which could be...
the LDS Church,
I don't know what that is.
And that's the thing. It's very general, good. And then he says, we firmly believe that all people are equally beloved children of God and deserve to be treated with love and respect. So again, is this true? Ish? Yes and no, right? We got a blend of truth and error.
Right.
Because So, are we all equally beloved? Yes. Are we all equally children of God? No. Right? Okay. We deserve to be treated with love and respect. Yes. Love and respect is not acceptance of sin. This is the dividing line. Right? I can't say, well, I love you and I respect you, therefore you can do whatever you want. I don't do that with my kids. Feel free to punch me in the face. Because I love and respect you.
Yeah.
No. Okay. And this is what he does the whole time. There's yes and no once. And we already talked about the engaging in the thought versus the action, right? Let's see. Then he says, our affirmation of this neither constitutes nor condones any kind of hostility towards gays and lesbians. On the contrary, many church leaders have spoken clearly about the love and respect with which all people are to be treated. Absolutely agree. Right? There has been, at times in the church, a very unbiblical and unhealthy attitude towards gays and lesbians. We are to love them to Jesus. Okay? We are not to treat them as something despicable. We are to treat them as object people for whom Christ died. Okay?
We need to pray for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Pray for them. Do good to them.
1 Corinthians 6, and such were some of you.
Absolutely.
You were this, you were that. And there's a whole list, nor effeminate. It just doesn't stand out. Homosexuality.
Sure.
He lists immorality. It's a whole litany.
Absolutely.
But such were, past tense.
Well, and one of the things he mentions I can't remember if it was there or in Romans. Anyway, he says, disobedient to parents. Yeah. That was me. Anybody else? Right?
From time to
time. I'm in the list. All of us are in the list.
Sin is sin.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, are there varying punishments and consequences? Absolutely. But all sin took Christ to the cross. Okay? And we got to be very careful how we treat people, how we talk about people and think about people. And so, did you have a comment?
I was going to say, to God, there is no degree of sin.
Sure.
This sin is less bad than that sin is some human.
Again, it there's different consequences. Okay? Like, there's going to be a different consequence. For example, I'll use lying. There can be different consequences for lying. Right? If I lie to an employer, there's going to be one consequence. If I lie to a friend, there's going to be a different consequence.
Well, there's always consequences for that.
There's always consequences. And sometimes they're not public consequences. Sometimes they're personal consequences. Mm-hmm. Right? David said, my bones wax old. Mm-hmm. Right? He felt physically sick while he tried to hide his sin. That's a consequence. So, we're gonna stop here. And I know there's more comments and more thoughts. You can write it down. We will get to it next week. But we're gonna end just with this one thought of being careful. So we're not looking at this because I hate gay people. We're not looking at this because we want to mock any of these other authors. The whole entire point of this exercise is to teach us how to think through things that we're reading, things that we're listening to. How do we do that? Okay? So this is meant to be a practical exercise. Okay. So I encourage you, you read through them again this week or whatever. It may take us a couple weeks to get through it.
So not next week?
Not next week. Thank you, Sean. I'm going to be gone next week. Sean's going to do Sunday school.
And there's an assignment that's similar to this, but not.
Okay. Yeah.
Read this article.
Sean's got an article to read for next week. So, my family will be out of town.
This is where
you
wrote this.
Sean told me. Yeah. Yeah. So Sean said this is how they found out about me.
Yeah.
Was through reading these articles that I wrote in the paper.
Invest in a new printer, maybe.
No, the article that printed. I tried to go darker, and then it made it dark. The printer is good. It's okay. If I made it darker contrast, it was.
Yeah, it's worth copying things from online.
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is unchanging and true. Father, it is our task to submit ourselves to what you have revealed. And that is sometimes difficult because our emotions get in the way, because our intellect gets in the way. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that as we work through this, how do we think critically? That it would not develop in us a critical spirit where we desire and delight in finding fault. But that, Father, it would develop in us discernment. The ability to evaluate the things that we read and see and listen to so that we can build our lives on the bedrock of truth and be able to help others know the difference between truth and error. Father, we thank you for what you have planned for us today. We ask, Lord, that as we go into our morning service and as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that, Lord, you'd prepare our hearts for that. We thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.